Got it. The light finally came on. That's good. Yeah, I actually do need... there's a couple guys that really don't need this microphone. Their voices carry very, very well. And if... yeah. And then there's me. And if I try to raise my voice, everybody thinks I'm mad. And I'm not mad. I just, you know, I'm trying to do... talk louder. So it's much better to have this mic on. Let's bow our heads for a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to conclude here. Our Heavenly God and Father, we do come into your presence again. Would ask that you would give me the strength and the voice and the thoughts that you'd have me to have to share with each one who's here. May these words be encouraging. May they give us a stronger desire to put you first in all things. Help us to devote more of our life, of our time, of our energy, thinking about you and your plans, and how we fit into your plans. If we ask it all in our Savior's name, we ask it for his sake. Amen. So I'm going to read our theme for the conference. Barney said, has it all been said already? And I think it's been covered. It's been covered very well, but it doesn't hurt for us to hear things that are important over and over again. Usually if the Lord repeats something more than three times, that's something you want to mark as, I better get that one. I better remember that one. And so we've had eight speakers, almost everyone. Matter of fact, I don't think anyone didn't speak on the theme this year, which is a little bit unusual. I have to come up with these themes, and I'm going to be trying to put these themes and the schedules in the paper earlier than asked to do that. I'm going to try and do it in the February issue next year, and I'm going to try and do it in the April issue next year. So that should help people either making their plans to get here, if they so choose to do that, and I guess make sure the speakers know when their turn comes into play. I plan on being last again, only because in some respects it's the worst position. Because everybody's already covered all the scriptures, but on the other hand, I don't mind repeating things. So he says, "I therefore," Ephesians 4 verse 1, "the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy." And this is the other thing about speaking last. These other people have always said most of what needs to be said about these things, but that's what this. Last three chapters is about walking worthy. If you don't get anything else from what I'm going to share, I've got three words up here that I'm going to talk about a little bit. Unity, not much, like Pete said, is only a couple occurrences. One, there was a song years ago, and I'm terrible about remembering lyrics, but I remember this song that said, "One is the loneliest number." That you ever heard? I don't know if you remember that song. I'm not going to sing it. If this is going to be sung, Val would have to do it. She's very good at remembering the verses, and she has a better voice than I do for singing. So, but I thought that's just the opposite of what the Lord appraisal of one is. And then the last word up there is peace. And this one of those words where if you have peace with God, if you're at peace with God, and then you lose that, you really start to value how important the peace of God is. It's something that he gives us freely, but it cost him everything. It cost him his very life, his blood. So those are the three words that I want to look at. But I just want to, and Peter already read that verse about how we edify one another, how we build one another up. And I need to say this about some people that aren't here physically, but they're here with us spiritually. They pray for us. And the four names I want to mention are Joe, and I didn't actually talk to him personally, but his sister Marie Morning, ended up sending me a note along with her donation, which she does faithfully. And she said, we would love to be there if we could. And I know they feel that way. And then Esther Thornburg, she said she's really into poems and putting things in poetry, which it's sad to say, I guess I'm not very much into poetry, but I know that there's a lot in that if you enjoy poetry. And she said she would like to be here, but she just can't make it. And then the last one is someone who prays for us a lot, and Charlene Anglin. And I know she would like to be here, but she can't. So I know there's more than just them, because I got some other, I put in the paper RSVPs, but I also got some calls and some same people regretting they couldn't be here. So it's not for the lack of wanting to be here, but it's other circumstances, other health reasons. And I'm thankful for each one that's here. I believe the Lord has brought each of you here. And I'm very fortunate to know you guys, other fellow body members. And we're going to be spending eternity together. So it's good to know each and every one of you. So we're to walk worthy of this vocation. And those are the four I wanted to mention by name that didn't ask me to share that, but they did ask me to just know in our heart of hearts that they're thinking about us. And this thing about prayer, people praying for you, it works. And I'm thankful for each one that does that for us. So, Christian of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. And that's a job. You know, I'm retired after 34 and a half years at Lilly's, but I haven't quit working. And we asked Joe to look into the scriptures and find us a place where we could actually retire, stop working. And he couldn't find it. And so we're going to keep on doing this as long as you guys will have me and as long as the Lord will have me and use me. So he goes on to say, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. And I'm thankful men have already went through these words and explained these words. This endeavoring is certainly labor, and I feel like some of the labor, some of the business end of this ministry, I find laborious. But I'd much rather be studying the scriptures. But these things are necessary. And again, the prayers give me the strength. The Lord gives me the strength. But I think you guys are in this with me because you pray for me. And I appreciate that. So long suffering, forbearing one another. And that forbearing is that holding each other up. And by the way, not that I'm slacking, but I am praying for all of you as well. So, not maybe the same prayer, but praying that God would be over you, watch you. I like that one of the commercials I see on TV. They have this little baby, and he's doing this thing. I'm watching you as you're watching this other guy, and I think that's the way the Lord is. He's watching us. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. And I'm thinking this isn't lonely, like the song says. And there's one Spirit. even as you are called in one hope of your calling. And I want to emphasize this truth. There's not two. It doesn't mean God doesn't have other plans. It doesn't mean that He doesn't have other called out members. But this one that He's talking about in Ephesians, there's but one. He goes on to say, one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. And by the way, it is His calling. It's not that we're not involved with it. We are involved with it. But we don't want to look at things which is so easy to do from our point of view. We know it's His calling. He did it. And what we need to do is believe it. And believe that it's His calling. It's our calling also. But it's He initiated it. He planned it. We are not an afterthought. We are one of His first thoughts that He had in mind. One Lord. I've thought about this often. Why is there just one Lord? Why isn't there three? But I think it's because He thinks this number one is so important. There's no division in between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is one Lord. There is one faith, and there is one baptism. And why try to make two? When we know, the word baptism, by the way, means to be overwhelmingly identified with. So the baptism that Christ had, the water baptism that He had, that John the Baptist performed, that was for us, because it is fulfillment of the law. And so that's the one baptism that we identify with, because we're in Him, we're complete in Him, we fulfilled the law. So we were baptized, not in water of ourselves, but in His, when He was baptized. And I like that. I like it that we don't have to add anything. It's not of me. It's all of Him. He's done it all, and we are complete in Him. One God and Father of all. And I use this word, and, is this Greek chi, and I like to put the word even in there. There's one God, even one Father. The Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. What a privilege, what an honor to believe that God, the God of the universe, the God of all creation, is in each and every one of us. We shouldn't fail when we have that power, when we have Him within us. We should be able to accomplish anything that He needs done. And it's not what we need to do, it's what He needs done. And so, it may be simple jobs, it may be something that's complicated and takes a while to get accomplished. But like building that temple that Pete was talking about. That was no easy task. And as he read there, one person was just thinking about each block that he was laying. The other was looking at the finished product. And that's what we should do. And finally he says, but unto everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And what that means to me is that we've all been given personalities, personas, and it's coming from Him, and He is able to supply what we need when we need it. Not too much, not too little, just what we need to get the job done. And I often think of electricity. In most of our homes, we have 220, or 230, and 110. But in that sense, if you plug yourself into the wrong socket, you're going to blow your circuits. And the Lord never does that with us. He just gives us the amount that we need. So let's go back now and just look at the other reference for this this word unity. We saw it here, I think it was the unity of the Spirit in verse 3. And the other reference, and I think Pete may have read this, but it doesn't bother me to read these over and over again, because verse 13 has this same word, and then he even included a third one, which I think was very, very accurate, a third unity. And even though they didn't use the exact word here, I think it means exactly the same. He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect, or I think it's fully grown, or it's that person that God intends us to be. I was looking at these little kids running around a few minutes ago, and I'm thinking about the energy that they have. Boy, it'd be nice to tap into that, you know, and have some of that. On the other hand, I can tell by the parents that they're wishing they had a little less. So it's something that they have to deal with. But it's just that idea that the Lord has a plan and a purpose for each of us. And I think He is helping us either to grow through just the Word, just the Spirit speaking to us, or through fellow saints helping and encouraging one another. So the other side of this is we can also fail someone else. We can fail ourselves. And we could cause disunity. And I don't think that pleases the Lord. So I want to be careful, like it says, to guard it. But the beauty of it is we don't have to create the unity. We don't have to go out and do anything to make this happen. It's already there. And then the other point is just to guard it. And it came out well in the question and answer period. I don't know who asked the question, but somebody asked that question about, are there other things that we need to guard? And so that was one of the things I was going to discuss, but I don't feel like I need to now because it was brought out. And I thought answered, for the amount of time we had to prepare for the answer, I thought it was answered very well. And then he says that we want to come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What a challenge to be more like Christ and to think like He does, to have the very mind of Christ. And I think to have the very mind of Christ has that idea is, I don't particularly like this bracelet that people wear, but it says, what would Jesus do? But I think it's important to think about that the Lord would handle some of these situations differently than we do, and that we would be far better off going through these situations the way the Lord would handle it. Maybe even seeking the Scriptures and seeing how others handled problems and issues, because the answers are certainly there. He says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive you. That seems to me to be a terrible plan on their part. Why not go with the winner, the one that's got the winning plan? Why try to defeat him and his messengers? And yet we know they're out there. We know that there are those who would deceive, who would try to cause us to stumble, fall, miss reward. We know they're there. Colossians is a great work that talks about being beware. He says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And in verse 16, which I'll end with that, it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, and that's the word that Pete used, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. So I want you to remember that we need each other. That there isn't... I mean, I get this asked all the time with the people I witness to. Well, how many of you are there? And Val's answer always is, well, on a big day, we have six. And so, you know, if we get eight, that's an overflow crowd for us. We have to go dig out some more chairs. Yeah. So to them, that sounds like it's not enough. And then there's a little booklet that I think Joe created that was called Truth for Today in His Ministry. And in that, it's mentioned that we also have this mailing. We mail papers out all over the world. And that's probably one of the biggest expenses we have is that paper. But it does go out. It does get results. People still desire it. And we're going to continue to send it out as long as the Lord supplies the money to do it. We've never asked for funds. We're not asking for funds now. But the money keeps coming in, so it behooves us to keep putting it out. And that impressed this last lady I was talking to the most, that we're not just six people. We're not just this group here in Peru or Arizona or South Carolina or Wisconsin, West Virginia, wherever. We're all over. And we're small in number, but we need each other. We need these conferences. We really do. They do bolster us up, and they keep us keeping on. It's a good thing not to know that you're alone. You know, the Lord is with us and in us, but there's also other believers that are with us, and it does help us. And it's not our desire just to please you; it's our desire to please our Heavenly Father. But at the same time, I know that. I know there's several people pray for us, and I know that Jack and Melda even know a little bit about our family and our daughters and our grandkids, and they pray for them, and I'm glad they do. It's like I told him, I know prayer works, so keep doing it. You know, we're not done yet, so keep praying for us. We do appreciate it, and we pray for them also. That's this prayer is, I think, one of the ways that we can add to or help the other body members. The next verses I'd like to read are in Ephesians 2:14-16, and I'm just looking at this word one. Ephesians 2. And verse 14. Let's scroll down here. He says, let me read 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off, that's Gentiles, the Gentiles who had no hope of their own, as it's talking about there just prior to this. But now you're made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and having both the middle wall, a partition between us. Now he's talking about, and at this time there was a Jewish nation. And he was making of the Jews and the Gentiles. The Gentiles are everybody else that aren't the Jews. He broke down this thing that he had created with Abraham when he created this separation. So now he's bringing them back together as this one new man. So he says he's broken that wall down. So when he's saying if he's made peace, he has made both one. Now there is no difference in between the Jew and the Gentile. Matter of fact, as far as we know, the people that think they're Jewish can't prove that. All those records have been destroyed, and as far as we know, the Lord has divorced Israel. He's no longer their husband. Verse 15 says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. Somebody was talking earlier about having a sign about the Ten Commandments in your yard. Where it says here, no one can keep those commandments. These things were are causing the enmity, because we couldn't keep them, because we couldn't obey the law. So now, I can't say there's anything wrong with the law, it's just we couldn't keep it. These people ask for the law, just tell us what to do, we'll do it. And you know, I think the Lord is trying to tell them that's not really what you need or want. And they kept insisting, so he gave them what they asked for. He says, contained in ordinances for the making himself of twain, one new man, so making peace. So this is a beautiful thing to think about, being at peace and no longer in enmity between the Jew and the Gentile, and taking away the Ten Commandments, as it were. And by the way, man added several more commandments after that. I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 430 as a total. But these rules weren't really our friend. They weren't really helpful. They were moral things that we should do. But in Christ, if you consider yourself to be in Him as He says you are, then you've already fulfilled these. And He says in verse 16, that He might reconcile. That means to remove all the hostility. When you think about all of us being reconciled, it didn't make us saved, but it put us in a position to be saved. That's what the word means. So when people talk about universal reconciliation, I agree with the part that we all have been universally reconciled. But it didn't make any of us saved. But we couldn't have got there if He hadn't have done it. If He hadn't broken down this wall, if He hadn't set aside these commandments, if He hadn't died for our sins, none of us could have been saved. So He provided the way. And He had to do this first. He couldn't do it the other way. The reconciliation was very important because in God's mind, with His justice, with His goodness, it had to be this way. He had to set up the way. He had to set up the plan. And it's the only plan that would be effective and would work. So He says, both unto God in one body, not two. People want to argue about this fact. Since there's only one, then everybody must be in it. I'm not one that stands with that thought. I think there's one body for us to be called to and elected to and to believe in. That's, to me, that's when it says one body, that's what it's referring to. That it's His plan, it's His purpose to have a body, and He designed it. It's going to work. It is working. And it'll be effective because of the one who created it. So it's one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Then the next verse that this is in verse 18. Someone's just skip over 17. And 18 says, for through Him we both have access. And again, at the time this was written, there were Jews. So it was Jews and Gentiles that would have this access. And it's by one Spirit and to the Father. And then let's go over to chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 16. I really, truly do love this book of Ephesians. I spend a lot of time in this book, and I think it contains truth for today. So I tell people, it's not that I don't want you to read John. Actually, I want you to start in John. But once you've got John under your belt, you understand it. You understand the purpose of it. Then I'd like to see you go over to Ephesians and Colossians. And so, I think we need to know what is true for today so we can be approved of God. And in other words, if I told you to go out and build an ark today, like was told to Noah, you would be wrong in building that ark. If you thought that was going to please the Lord, you're wrong. It's not something the Lord requires now. He required that of Moses and for those people who were alive in that generation. And by the way, when he had built that ark, it had never rained before. So he was Well, probably scoffed at, and people made fun of him for, and he really didn't build a boat like the storybooks we have, but he built like a coffin. It was a box, something that would float. It had three stories, and all the dimensions of it are there. We could read that, we could imitate that, but why? The Lord's not telling us to do it today. So we need to know what is true for today. We need to know what our marching orders are for today. And we need to follow those. We were doing a study in Genesis about Cain and Abel. And how Cain, the firstborn son, the son that was said to be a man from God by his mother. And it turns out he's a murderer. He kills his brother. And the reason he killed his brother is they both sacrificed and the brother brought what he was supposed to. And he didn't. He bought work of his own hands. So it wasn't accepted. And so I just think, as hard as he worked, as pleasant as he made that offering look, when God looked at it, he said, that's not going to work. There's no blood in that. And so he killed his brother as a result, because his brother's sacrifice was, by the way, was a sheep. That's what the Lord required. And the other thing about this is he provided a sheep for Cain to bring right outside his door. It says it's the sin light at your door, but it was a sin offering right at his door. And he didn't want to do that. He hadn't done anything to as far as he was concerned, he didn't buy the sheep. He didn't work for the sheep. He had nothing to do with the sheep. So he didn't think that was good enough. So he provided what he had worked with his own hands. So I'm just suggesting that we find out what kind of sacrifice God would accept today. Find out what kind of work that would be pleasing to him. And let's be found doing that, not wasting our time and energy doing on something that we think will please the Father. Why do that? We see the results of it. We see the failure and how it affected the continence of both of these men. The one that was got the well done, how happy and glad he was about that, and then how sad the other son was. So he says in verse 16, of whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. I always get amazed, but how could you say that any better? You know, that's exactly what the purpose is. And the Lord, in the first three chapters of Ephesians, tells you what you have, and then he tells you in 4-6, because of what he's done, because of what he's provided, you should be willing to live for me and to do it the way I need it to be done so it will be effective. Let's see. The next one is in Philippians 1:27. Scripture reads, only let your conversation, this word is a word for citizenship. I often say, this is not our home. This isn't our world. I don't need to fix this world. I don't even need to comply with this world except to, you know, to obey the laws and to pray for the leaders of it. But the whole idea is we have a higher calling, a different citizenship in the heavenlies, far above all heavens, and that we as a result ought to live and act like it. Joe used to use the expression, we're a child of a king, and as an heir, we ought to behave like we are a child of a king. We're not lowly, we are lowly servants of the Lord, but in another sense, we have this position that He's given us, that we didn't earn, that we didn't deserve, but that He wanted us to have. Now, we always want what's best for our children. We don't always get it done, but we desire that. And I think that's the way our Lord is as the Father. He desires what's best for us. Everything in His plan has that intent of being good for us. That's how much He loves us. Out of all His creation, man is the only one that He created in His image. And by the way, that was Adam that was created in His image. And I think we're a product of Adam after he fell. But He says, let your conversation, as it becometh the gospel of Christ, or the good message of Christ, or probably even better, the message of Christ. Because, believe me, when there was a good message to Israel, but there was also another gospel message for the Gentiles, and they didn't have the same blessings that Israel had. That's what created the enmity. So it wasn't good news for everyone, but it was a message to everyone, and especially those that He elected. He says, so it's the gospel of Christ, or the message of Christ, whether I come and see you, or else be absent, may make of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the message. And so there's a oneness there. And I don't, you know, I'm thankful for the differences that we each have. But at the same time, this one mind that He's referring to, it's a mind that thinks like Christ does. And it puts other people first. Val has this thing that she does where you have the person that thinks they're the center of the universe, and the world, they think, revolves around them. And she uses that, and we know a few people that seem to think that way very strongly. And when they go to the Scriptures and want vengeance, they want the vengeance on the people that have done something wrong to them, but they never want that vengeance to come on them for what they've done to others. So that type of thinking, if it's good for one, it should be good for them also, is not something that crosses their mind. And it's only because they have the focus needs to be on Christ and revolving around Him. The world revolves around Him, not us. So, you know, get the starting point wrong, and it doesn't work, and you fail. You fail because you're not God, and you can't do everything He does. So, this oneness, this one spirit, this one mind, that next one is in 2:2. I've got more verses here, but I think, as I said, a lot of these things have already been shared. I think a little differently on some things than others. I put the emphasis in a different place than others do. But in reality, I agree with the Scriptures. And so, I'm going to start in verse 1. He says, if there be any consolation in Christ. And this is a statement that he's making, but really the answer is, and there is. And usually when I read this, in my mind I'm thinking that. If there be any comfort of love, and there is. If any fellowship of the Spirit, and there is. If any vows and mercies. And our God is all merciful. So the answer is, and there is. Fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. And the last word I wanted to touch on just a little bit, I don't have a lot of time to discuss it, but that word peace. And again, this was already brought up and discussed earlier, but I want to look at a couple of places, Ephesians 6:15, where this word peace is used. I was thinking I could have spent the whole session just on that word, because it seems to be where this is all heading. It's an important thing for us to feel like that we're loved, that we're cared about, that we have the peace of God. It's something that He desires for us. When He says, "Be you anxious for nothing," it doesn't mean you don't have any worries or cares of any kind. But what it means is that you don't need to be concerned about this too much, because the Lord already cares about it. And a lot of times I've noticed when I pray about something and it gets answered, it was something that He had already been preparing beforehand. So He knew what I was going to pray for before I even asked it. And He gave me the answer for it. So I'm learning as I get older to rely more on Him to take care of that, and not to be overly anxious or consumed by it. I don't think that people are anxious. The people that are anxious and overly concerned about things that only God can really handle anyway, do well. I don't think they're at peace while they're struggling with this. And so I'm going to suggest that each of us rely on Christ to do the things that we can't do, take care of the problems that we can't take care of, can't do it justice. He says, "Cease not to give thanks for you." This is Paul saying this, "making mention of you in my prayers." So it's that thought of praying, praying for others. I wanted to go to 6:15. I just read 1:15. So let me go over there. I'm going to make this my last verse. I got several verses to read here. Take this away with you. Think about this peace. Think about the different kinds of peace that are available to us. And realize and appreciate that the Lord wants you to be at peace. His peace. And He says, "Above all, making the shield of faith within you, shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." I still don't have the right verse there. 15. Oh yeah, 15. And your feet shod with preparation of the message of peace. So I would like for you to take that thought about peace and try to answer that for yourself. What is the peace that God would like for you to have as a result of all He's done for you in the first three chapters of Ephesians? So with that, let's close with a quick word of prayer. Our Heavenly God and Father, we do thank You for Your Word, for what Your Word means to us, and for what Your Word means to You, for how You use it to help, to guide, to instruct, to encourage. Give us more understanding as our faith grows, and help us to know that we're doing the right things. Let us be at peace knowing that we're doing the right things for You, to edify, to build up Your other body members, and to be an encouragement to them so that they may not fail. We thank You, Lord, for each one that's come our way, each one that's shared with us, each one who's prayed for us, and ask that You might bless them and give them Your peace. For we ask it all in our Savior's name, the Lord Christ Jesus, for His sake.